Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
Hey, this is Andy Balkan from Hey Moon Shaker, and you're listening to the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Well, I was born one morning, gave my mind no warning. She said, boy, I know you're running, but you don't know where you're coming. Oh, child, weeping on my way. You know I jumped down easy trying to play the fool. I said I don't mind the waiting when I wait on you. Oh, my babe, I look at her, I die so low. And I said, child, I'm wanting what you never had coming. Slow down, baby, treating me so bad.
Joining me now on one-on-one is one half of an incredible blues rock and beatbox duo from Great Britain. They are currently preparing their first ever U.S. tour, as well as a new EP that will be released within the next couple weeks. It gives me great pleasure to welcome from Hey Moonshaker, Mr. Andy Balkan.
Hi there, Evan. Thanks for having us along today.
Thank you for joining me here. So I know you both were street musicians before you formed this duo. So what was it about each of your different styles that made you want to form this sort of unique sound that you have created?
I think the idea came from initially, like, our eclectic taste in music. I've grew up skateboarding, so I kind of was introduced to skateboarding through rock music. But then as the scene changed, there was a big hip hop scene in England, which was really pushed in the skateboard industry. And I've always had a passion for blues, so it's when I did meet Crow, it seemed like a perfect blend of music, and also our personalities matched quite well, and the friendship spurred on the music, and that's how we ended up here, really, I guess.
That's really cool. So where did the name Hey Moon Shaker originate from?
I used to work in an office up in Yorkshire, North England, and I was doing security work. And while working there, I was also running a solo project called I was just going on Andy Balkan, but I did a lot of artwork. And while I was working night shifts, and I wrote Hey Moon Shaker in one of my pieces, and then I kind of came up with this fantasy band called Hey Moon Shaker, and then it eventually didn't. It became materialized and became a real band, yeah.
Very cool. So, you know, last year, 2013, it was very eventful for the both of you. You released your first EP, Shakerism, to much fanfare, and you even supported the legendary De La Soul on a few tour dates. And what I'm wondering is, what do you think were some of the most important lessons you learned last year, considering how much good fortune you both managed to receive?
One of the main lessons, well, just before last year, we were touring, before we released Shakerism, we were touring with a guy called Christoph Beckerdam, who's a filmmaker, and he was documenting us basically getting up and going, and we'd be playing a few small-time festivals and lots of bars. And he'd just finished university, and he was going deep into psychology and personal development to try and figure out how he could be the best person he wanted to be. And having him around really gave us a lot of time to reflect on our own personalities, because you felt like you were being judged every 5 minutes by him. So he really gave us a good handle to discover ourselves, really, and make sure that we stayed honest people, as opposed to being carried away with like the caricature which is sometimes created by people you meet. Because, you know, if you meet somebody and you kind of know that person from, say, a film or from like photographs and stuff, it's very easy to feel as though you understand that person and can perceive them in a particular way. So just basically holding on to not letting that carry away from yourself. So just trying to stay as nice as possible to everyone we meet and make sure everyone has a nice day. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, it's definitely a lot more, you know, self-conscious if you got some guy documenting everything. My friends from the band Hunter Valentine, they were on the third season of the show The Real L Word, so they had the cameras on them the entire time. So, you know, it was difficult for them to really, you know, try to be, you know, themselves, because with them always being watched 24/7, it can be a little bit hectic to them.
Yes, definitely. So I can imagine. Yeah.
So, outside of everything, you know, I did mention De La Soul, the first EP. What would you say was like your biggest highlight for 2013?
2013, biggest highlight. We've had some absolutely amazing shows. Ones that stand out. We at the beginning of 2013, we did a UK tour, which was our first extended UK tour. And we toured with a guy called John Fairhurst, and he's a blues musician, and he makes me and Crow look like we're pop musicians. You see, a good example was we were sat outside the pub we'd played the night before, and Crow gets out his nail kit, which his mum got him for Christmas, and he's cutting his nails, and then John pulls out a knife out of his pocket, and then he starts cutting his nails with a knife, and it was just an example of how he was a bit more rock and roll than we were. But the UK tour was brilliant. We got to play with John a lot. Also, we did some fantastic festivals this year. We did Cabaret Vert, which is it's like an organic festival, so there's lots of everything's kind of naturally resourced. And
now when you say organic, do you mean more of like a melting pot of musicians, or was this like an event where there was just everything organic, like everything being showcased?
Everything's a bit more with consideration towards the earth. And we played quite a few shows there, and we got to play the main stage, which is the biggest stage we've ever played, which was crazy, and there were people on people's shoulders and stuff, and that was great. And I mean, Wu-Tang Clan played it the night before, so it was quite an honor to get the opportunity to play up there. But it's funny, it seems like such a blur. We did the Cognac Blues Festival as well. That was another fantastic event, and we got to see Erykah Badu, and Mos Def turned up, and he did a little show. He did a feature on Erykah Badu's show. It's crazy just to pick out one particular thing, but it's just been a whirlwind and very fast paced. So yeah,
that's awesome. That whole feeling of so many amazing things happening to you in just that one year, man. It must feel like a dream sometimes, you know.
Yeah, totally. Also, we went to Canada last year as well, and to play the Quebec City Festival. And that was a real eye opener, because I mean, the States and Canada is somewhere that's, it seems like a dream for an English person, because you hear so much about it. But then to get the opportunity to just head over east, it was great. Yeah.
As a songwriter, like, what inspires you as musicians? Like, where do you like to pluck the majority of your song ideas from?
Where do we like to get our influences from? Well, when we first started Hymn and Shaker, because it was like 2012 when we started getting things up and going, and we weren't really listening to any music which was past the 60s, really. We were really going back, and we went through Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Robert Johnson, Lead Belly, all the classic blues stuff. But then at the same time, Crow was, just before that, Crow was living in the forest in Sweden. With his girlfriend, who was studying to be a jeweler. And so he was living out there, and he was spending a lot of time on the internet listening to dubstep. So there was like this real meet of two completely different music genres. And so that's when the fusion really started. But this last year, some of the stuff that's really stuck out for us is seeing Alt-J live. We saw them at the Paleo Festival in Switzerland, and that was a real eye opener to see what's possible with playing instruments. So the Alt-J album really, and seeing them live really gave us a bit of influence. But at the moment we've just been in the studio actually over the last 5 weeks. We've been working with a songwriter in London called Ollie Brown, who was working for what's the name of the record label? What's the name of the record label Fatboy Slim got? Skinny's record?
I think it's something along those lines.
Yeah. So we're working with Ollie, and then we're also been down in the 9 Volt Leap Studios in Melksham. We're working with a producer, Dom Bailey. Sorry. Yeah, working with Dom. So we've been exposed to lots of different genres again. So it's an ever growing development of the sound, and I really feel as though we're really starting to figure out our sound as well. So yeah. Because obviously we're still a new band, and this has never been done with the fusion of beatbox and blues. So just trying to, I think it's hard to pigeonhole. Yeah,
it is hard because it's a unique concept that I think you might be the very first. You might be starting a trend.
Hey, here we go. That's all right, isn't it?
So you know, I took a listen to Shakerism. Your most recent EP. I really enjoyed the music in there. There's one song, though, I wanted to ask about. I believe it's called, it's called Premature Blues, because it sounds very autobiographical. And I want to know how much of your own personal story was placed into that song.
When that song was recorded, I was living in Sweden, and I was with a beautiful Swedish girl, and we were living together. But it seemed like I needed to kind of a lot. I speak a lot about my own experience and Crow's experience as well, and we really try and tie that into the songs. Yeah,
and you did re-release Shakerism, and you added the song Collie Drop, which you released in a ridiculously intense music video for, like. Who came up with this concept of, like, bloody rain pouring down upon you two?
We were working with a film company from Nancy called What Comes Around Goes Around, and another company called Holden, and they are the creators of the video. And it was our friend Tebow who scripted the video and organized it, and he just listened to the tune and came up with the concept, and then that's kind of how it came about. Yeah.
Is there a sort of symbolism behind the bloody rain, like the blood, sweat, and tears that you guys pour out into your music and such, or is there something else entirely?
Yeah, well, it's actually meant to be oil, the liquid that's falling down.
And it's, really?
Yeah, it's meant to be oil, and it's meant to be like a metaphor for, oil can be seen as oil is there to be seen as a symbol. It's symbolic towards the way money is running the music industry, and how, if you watch the video as it goes on, it becomes more difficult for us to play because the oil is covering us and holding us back from being able to perform. So it's kind of a metaphor in itself.
Trust, as someone who watches closely with the music scene, I totally get that happens a lot, how money like keeps great performers from not getting out there because we want the next Britney Spears or the next Justin Bieber. We don't want any real artists. We want people that can make money for us.
Definitely so. And I think that's the beauty of if you look back like 20 years, it must have been 20 years ago, it must have been even more difficult because we didn't have the internet as a tool to reach such a large audience. I mean, we're very fortunate to live in this generation where we are able to reach out to new audiences all over the world just from the click of a mouse. So it's just a matter of actually seeking out the music and not just taking what's put in front of your plate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, trust me, if the internet wasn't there, I wouldn't know any of the Japanese artists I perform on my show. So it's crazy how such a small thing, such a thing like the internet 20 years ago, we would never have imagined that we could ever reach out. What we're doing right now over Skype, we could never have done this 20 years ago.
Exactly. And here we are. Fantastic.
So I was listening to a couple of your demos from your upcoming EP, and I was really blown away so much by how much you've already evolved as performers from Shakerism to what you're doing right now. Were there any new techniques or musical styles that you were trying out for this upcoming release?
Yeah, definitely. So we had a bit more time for this one. I mean, when we first started, when we recorded Shakerism, we recorded Shakerism in two halves. So we recorded the first half, which is the acoustic songs. We recorded that in Sweden, in Gothenburg. And then the electric songs on Shakerism, we recorded in France, in Chateau de Favrel. And so you can, if you listen, they're probably like 9 months apart, those two recordings. So you can even hear the difference if you listen to Shakerism, and it's kind of a, it's almost a story in itself. So the new songs, they've evolved more and we've had more time to work on them and also, to perform these songs and come up with the sound. And we've realized the music that we are writing is very much going to represent us on stage, so we want to make sure that when we are performing these songs on stage, we're able to wiggle our crotch as much as possible and hopefully get the audience and wiggling their bottoms as much as possible as well.
That's cool. Have you decided on a title yet on the new EP?
No, we're kind of fishing through a few ideas at the moment.
Would you like to share some of these ideas that you have?
No, we're going to keep that under wraps.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, besides this new EP, this year is also looking to be pretty big. You're going to be touring America for the first time, as well as performing at the famed South by Southwest Festival in Texas.
Yes, definitely.
So, what are you hoping to achieve when coming to our shores? And are you a little bit nervous about this next step in your career?
What do we want to achieve? We just want to make people happy, and that's it, really. When we play a live show, I think it's quite obvious that when we perform, we've got a message of trying to allow people to understand that they are completely free, even if the society says that they're not free and they should follow their dreams. I mean, that's what we've done. We've just said no to the stuff we don't want to do and really jumped at everything that we're passionate about. And I think that should be said for everybody who feels as though they should just follow your heart. So coming to the States, anything we'd like to achieve, meet some lovely people. I don't know, man. We've had so much time in the studio over these last few weeks that it's been really hard to actually focus into what it's like being on tour. I mean, we've been touring now for like 2 years nonstop. Since we started the band, I mean, we don't live anywhere, so we're complete vagabonds. That's why I'm at my friend's house at the moment in Brighton. And so, actually, this is the longest time we've spent in England in, for me, I think it's 6 years, and I think it might be 6 years for Crow as well.
Wow.
So it's been 3 months in England, so it's been a bit crazy, really. So I've not actually put much thought into any expectation or anything, because I know good things always come as long as we head out there with a good heart and a clean head, and we've definitely got that, so yeah.
So what are you hoping to see when you come to our shores, like whether it's off stage or on stage?
What am I looking forward to seeing? the food. I'm looking forward to the food. Every morning we're waking up, we've been staying with this lovely couple down in Melksham, and they've got a little baby, so when we wake up in the morning before we go into the studio, we'll sit down and we'll have a flip through the television, because we don't really get the opportunity to watch that. We're watching a lot of Man versus Food, and we've wrote down a few names of a few places in Texas that we're looking forward to getting some food from. Also, American Girl, so I'm quite interested to see I used to date a girl from Miami and she was lovely, and she's living up in New York at the moment, so hopefully going to catch up with her.
Very cool. So if you're looking for food, when you come to the Boston area, I believe the place is called Eagle's Deli. If you want to try your hand at trying the Godzilla burger, it's like Eagle's a burger that's like this huge.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah,
I think if you finish it, you get your name on the wall, and then...
What was it called?
I think it's called Eagle Deli. Let me just double check that.
Eagle Deli. All right. Eagle Deli in Boston. Cool.
Eagle's Deli.
Eagle's Deli. And it's a Godzilla burger.
Yeah, the Godzilla burger. It's on Beacon Street in Boston.
Yeah.
And if you finish it, I think you get your name on the wall and a t-shirt and I think a couple other things too.
We might give Crow a run for his money because he's quite a fan of the burgers. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let me know if you guys wind up doing that then.
Yeah, definitely so, man.
So, after this upcoming U.S. tour and EP, what do you foresee for Hey Moon Shaker's future?
Playing as much as possible, seeing as much of the world as possible, making as many people happy as possible. What else? I sound like Miss World or something, don't I?
It's okay.
What do I see? I don't know. This festival season's going to be quite exciting. I know there's a few people who are quite interested in getting us over the summer. I don't know. Keep going. We're going to be going for years. We've got lots of beans left. We're just starting. This is just the beginning of it all. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you are going to pull out in the future. So, definitely. My final question, and maybe this is a question I should have warned you about beforehand. This is something I always ask the musicians I have on my show, and it's a little thing I call Three Album Island. And basically the question of, if you were stuck on a deserted island, which three albums would you like to have on you to keep you sane until your imminent rescue, and why?
Okay. I was thinking about this. Well, I've always said one album, and I've always said Bob Marley Legend. And I don't know if the reason I say Bob Marley Legend is because I saw I Am Legend with Will Smith, and that's like the one album he's got on the film. So I'm going to pick three different albums. So, ones that have stuck with me, Neil Young's On the Beach. The one with, what do you call it? I see a crowd of people day. So Neil Young's On the Beach. What else have we got? I hope this isn't a rushed one, because it's quite...
Oh, no, take your time.
Let's have a think.
I can always edit this in post.
Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones. That's a banging one. Yeah. And... I might change that, actually. Change Exile on Main Street for... what was it? Ah, it just came into my head and it jumped out. definitely, Robert Johnson's Greatest Hits. That was it. And Simon and Garfunkel's Bookends.
Awesome. Very good choices. Andy, thank you so much for joining me on One-on-One. Listeners, be sure to check out your local tour dates for Hey Moonshaker. And where's the best place for people to find out more about Hey Moonshaker?
We've got www.heymoonshaker.co.uk. We've also got a and there's a mailing list on there. So if you sign up to the mailing list, I think you get a download of a free track sent over to you. And also we'll be following up with lots of tour dates and events that we're going to be holding. Also Facebook, Hey Moon Shaker, the Twitter, which is my personal Twitter, which is still Hey Moon Shaker. What else have we got? And then the YouTube channel. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel because we're going to have some interesting videos coming out of what happens in the US, I'm sure.
Ah, so you're bringing a camera crew for that as well.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to be having a GoPro in our pockets and we're going to whip it out and do a little bit of DIY, I think.
Ah, very nice, very nice. I'm sure your fans and hopefully newcomers are going to really enjoy that. So, Andy, thank you so much for joining us here on One on One.
Beautiful. Cheers, everyone. Thank you very much, man. Oh, those questions.